Hello, guys. Welcome to the SSTN podcast. Sorry we missed last week's episode. There's a whole bunch of schedule complications, but we will be doing an episode today. We're doing it this Friday, and then we will go back to Wednesdays weekly. But welcome to Season 1, Episode 9 of the SSTN podcast. And I know we missed this last football week, but yesterday was a crazy, crazy football week in its own. So we usually start off with the news, and we are going to do the same. So first news is news from 2 weeks ago. Vontaze Burfict suspended for the season. So Sam, there's been a whole debate of if Vontaze Burfict should be suspended forever in the NFL. Are you pro ban or not pro ban?
I think I am pro ban. He's really just like gone overboard every single time. It's kind of ridiculous to this point. I just don't have a reason why he should still be in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, when he made that hit on Jack Doyle, there was also clips of him laughing after it. And honestly, he's just a terrible, dirty player, honestly. So next up, Bradley Chubb suffers a torn ACL. It didn't seem to hurt the Broncos yesterday for most of the game. And, Bradley Chubb is a great young player for this Broncos team, but it's going to hurt their defense losing him. But at the end of the day, the Broncos were never serious contenders anyway.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, the Broncos weren't going to go anywhere anyway. So, he helps, but they were already winless, I think it was. But, yeah.
Yeah, they were. Moving on to the next game, we have, or the next news, my bad. The Redskins fire Jay Gruden. This is the news that many people want to know if it was happening or not. And personally, I don't know how much Jay Gruden is the problem on the Redskins. I mean, they started Colt McCoy yesterday, and they were winning for a good chunk of the game against the New England Patriots. So honestly, I don't know like how much it was Jay Gruden. Jay Gruden was a good coach for a little bit of his career. But at the end of the day, the Redskins had to make some change up. They do need a better quarterback, obviously. And I would say even if Dwayne Haskins was a bust, start your sixth overall pick. You have to do it.
I think they fired him way too late because Jay Gruden was one of the big reasons the Redskins were struggling so much. Remember the game against the Giants? He puts Dwayne Haskins in totally unprepared. Like, who does that? Like, it's just crazy, and then he just won't start him. And then I think he just wanted to get fired, honestly, move on. And this always brings back the question. They chose Jay Gruden over Sean McVay.
I mean, yeah, that's a huge mistake considering that Sean McVay was in the Super Bowl last year. And obviously, another crazy time of the year for the baseball season. So I wanted to make quick mention the playoffs. And Sam is a huge Yankees fan. So, like, before we get into our topics, Sam, what do you have to say on the Yankees being up 2-0 in the game tonight?
It's good because the Yankees, their biggest concern was, of course, their pitching and would they be able to handle the Twins' offense. And so far, even though Paxton did give up a couple homers in game one, what I liked about Paxton is he didn't throw too many fastballs. He got them with breaking balls. He had a good amount of strikeouts. And also that even though he did give up home runs, they were only solo home runs. So as long as he just limited the damage and kept it close until the bullpen came in. And that's what the Yankees do. That's what Tanaka did very well last night. He pitched amazing. And I'm hoping that's what Severino can do tonight so we can move on.
I mean, yeah, we could go to the second round. That's crazy. But so we did miss week three. That is a shame. Or week four, whatever it was. But we are doing the aftermath of last week and then the preview of this upcoming week. So since we are doing an episode on Friday, there's only going to be one Thursday night game. We will be doing some extra things instead of and taking a little bit of a break from all football or mostly football. But today we are also taking a little bit of a break from mostly football for a while because we are doing our expectations and talking a little bit about the Eastern Conference teams. On Friday, we will be doing the Western Conference teams. But moving on to the preview of the week that just happened, every game except for the Browns-Niners game, which will be happening on tonight, actually. And it's a huge game for the as a Browns fan, because we want to keep the top of the division here. But moving on to the Thursday night game from this past week, we have the Rams versus the Seahawks. I want to make a controversial statement. And honestly, if the Cowboys, well, I mean, other than the Packers and the Rams, really, if even those teams, if the Patriots and the Chiefs are somehow not in the I think Seattle will be your champion this year. I think they'll be their Super Bowl champions if Kansas City or the Patriots are not in the Super Bowl, which is unlikely. I do think the Seahawks will be the champion this year. Obviously, Jadeveon Clowney had the pick six a couple weeks ago, and this defense, it was looking solid for the first part of the game. Chris Carson has proven to be a workhorse on that offense. Everybody on that offense. On that offense has proven themselves except for their O-line. Their O-line is a little bit sketchy. That's their only problem. But at the end of the day, this whole offense has proven themselves, in my opinion. Russell Wilson is obviously elite. Will Disley is coming out as an elite tight end. And Tyler Lockett is one of the best receivers in the game right now. So I do think the Seahawks are huge contenders.
I was saying before, if the Saints and the Giants both struggle, I think that Seattle has like a great chance to win the Super Bowl this year and just make it to the Super Bowl. As long as they have Russell Wilson on their team, they have a chance to win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Moving on to the next game, that's the Cardinals and the Bengals. The Cardinals ended up winning this game 26-23. Two teams that are not going to be playoff teams this year. Kyler Murray showed that he has wheels on him. Much more than I even thought, even from all the college tapes. Kyler Murray is going to be a very, very solid scrambling quarterback in this league. Christian Kirk was out in this game with an injury, as well as A.J. Green and John Ross. So huge receivers in this game are all out with injuries. But at the end of the day, the Cardinals did end up winning. So, I mean, two non-playoff teams. That's what I have to say about this game.
Yeah, it was very boring. Cincinnati, very bad team.
Yeah, I mean, overall, Cincinnati is a very disappointing team. We're on to the next game, the Bills versus the Titans. This game was kind of boring, if you want to put it into the same aspect. They're very defensive-orientated. John Brown, he's proving that he could be a number one wide receiver in that first half. But in the second half, he did absolutely nothing. But that Bills defense is impressing me more and more, holding the Titans only 7 points. A.J. Brown is becoming a solid receiver on that Titans team offensive-wise. And at the end of the day, I mean, it was a very defensive game.
Yeah, the Bills are reminding me a lot of the Bears last year, where their offense is pretty suspect, but their defense is elite. And I feel like that's how it's going to be for most of the season. I think that the Bills are going to – they might be a sleeper playoff team, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, they
could get a wild card.
At the end of the day, they're 4-1. So you have to, if you look at the records, which you have to look at the records, and I clearly think that the Bills are playoff teams. And moving on to the next game, about the Bears and the Raiders, take it away. While this annoying lawnmower is, the Bears and the Raiders.
Well. Yeah, I mean, the Bears and the Raiders, this is going to be a very – I think it's going to be a cakewalk game.
I mean, yeah, at the end of the day, it's a huge upset that the Raiders ended up winning. And at the end of the day, I mean, this game was in London, so maybe the – and, like, somebody said, like, they would make, like, a huge mistake, the Bears, by not going to London until Thursday. David Montgomery hasn't really proved much to me on that offensive side. Khalil Mack, he was quiet other than that one fumble recovery on the defensive side. At the end of the day, Josh Jacobs. Honestly, I think the two best running backs in this draft are Josh Jacobs and Devin Singletary. And at the end of the day, the Raiders, well-deserved win there.
Yeah, of course you have to throw in Devin Singletary right there.
Well, of course I have to throw in Devin Singletary. Devin Singletary, unfortunately, did miss another week in that game against the Titans. Hopefully, Devin Singletary will be back after their bye. We just got to pray about that. Devin Singletary, obviously one of my favorite players in the NFL. We got to the next game at the Buccaneers at the Saints. So, I don't even want to talk about this game because I own Mike Evans in fantasy. And because I own Mike Evans in fantasy, I'm depressed. He screwed me. So how about you talk about this game instead?
Well, I mean, the Buccaneers were looking... Jameis Winston has looked actually very impressive under Bruce Arians. He's looked much better. And they think that he's solidified himself. He's going to be their quarterback for at least a couple more years. Can we agree on that?
I don't know necessarily. I don't know if the Buccaneers want to keep Winston. But
can we admit, though, he has looked better?
At the end of the day, Tampa, I am begging you, trade Mike Evans. I have Mike Evans and Stephon Diggs on my fantasy team. They are both not getting the near respect that they deserve. They both need to be traded because they're both they're both elite number one receivers for any team. So I need you to trade them. Trade Mike Evans or Stephon Diggs to the Jets. Sam Darnold needs Evans or Diggs. He needs one of them. I am begging you on that point because I had Philadelphia's defense and I had so many good fantasy players, but somehow I lost because of Mike Evans. I'm so mad about that. But at the end of the day, Teddy Bridgewater is keeping the Saints in there in terms of standing-wise. So, yeah, moving on to the next game, the Vikings and the Giants. So I texted you before this game, ready for Dalvin Cook to destroy you guys. Dalvin Cook was one of my favorite running backs. And you're like, nah, that's not going to happen. Then what happened?
Technically, I was right. It wasn't Dalvin that destroyed us. It was that Kirk Cousins somehow became a good quarterback.
No. Dalvin Cook totaled 217 total yards. There is no way that you could say that he didn't destroy you guys. And at the end of the day, I mean, this Vikings offense, it's getting better with Kirk Cousins. I don't think he's a quarterback of the future at all. Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs. On paper, that's the best wide receiving core in the league. Maybe with the exception of, like, Odell and Jarvis Landry. I mean, I think eventually Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley could get there, but Calvin Ridley has to prove himself. And at the end of the day, the Vikings defense looked incredible. Daniel Jones, there goes your 14-2 hopes.
Well, the 14-2 hopes may be off, but I'm telling you, Giants fans, we will go. I'm going to have to revise this a little bit. We're going to go 10-6 this year, and we're still going to win the Super Bowl this year. Daniel Jones actually did not look very bad at all. I think most of the things that the Giants defense.
He missed Shepard.
That is a rookie mistake. If you look at his game though, just the passes he made, he looked good again. I mean, but this I do admit, this defense, we need to do something about this. Like this, realistically, they're probably not going to make the playoffs. We need to fix this defense. It is absolutely horrible. Conley was our best defensive player this year, most impressive defensive player this year, and he's out.
Yeah.
DeAndre Baker is not looking good so far. I will say about the Giants defense, their front seven is actually very respectable. Dexter Lawrence looks very good. I think they're building a solid defensive line. It's just not ready yet.
Alrighty, moving on to the next game, not the Jets, the Eagles. I had Philadelphia's defense on my fantasy team. I'm a happy man. At the end of the day, Luke Falk, he's never going to be a starter ever again in the for his NFL career. I think that's a pretty fair statement to make. Sam Darnold will be back from mono, I believe, next week. And the Eagles look like the Eagles team we all expected. But do you think it was the Jets sucking or the Eagles actually looking impressive? Because they scored 31 points on this Jets defense. And Quinnen Williams, I mean, the Jets took him out of a part of the game. Quinnen Williams, people are saying he's the safest pick of the draft. He might be a bust.
There's no way that Quinnen Williams is a bust. He's looked very impressive so far. How can you say he's a bust?
I mean, the Jets did take him out for part of the game. Quinnen Williams does have upside, no doubt about it. But moving on to the next.
The reason they took him out of the game was because of injury issues.
I know. So moving on to the next game, we have the Ravens and the Steelers. And I was praying that the Steelers won. And Ravens fans are acting all happy about this win. You went against Devlin Hodges, and you're happy that you won the game. That's all I have to say. The Browns will win this division at the end of the year. This Baltimore defense is not as good as I expected it to be, even though they're a good defense. It's not as good as I expected it to be. Plus, Lamar Jackson, he's coming back to earth. So, yeah, the Ravens, sure, they got the win, but the Browns are winning the division.
Browns are not winning the division. I don't care what you say. I think this is the Ravens division. Even though they didn't look super impressive, a win is still a win.
Alrighty. Moving on to the next game. We have the Patriots and the Redskins. This game was close for a while, but then Tom Brady turned on Tom Brady mode, and the Patriots won this game. They were going as Colt McCoy at quarterback, so, I mean, no surprise there.
Yeah, the Redskins are an embarrassment. I think we are going to see there's a Tank Bowl coming up.
Redskins Dolphins. Most
exciting. That's going to be a
we will talk about that later. Watch. We will talk about that later. Moving on to the next game, got the Jaguars and the Panthers. So the biggest disappointment in this game. Who do you think the biggest disappointment in this game was?
Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, no, it's not. Joey Sly, Carolina's kicker. Most disappointing player in this game. I'm also personally pissed off because I had him in fantasy, but he missed two field goals and an extra point. And this guy is coming off the special teams player of the week for the NFC. And at the end of the day, Joey Sly was proven to be one of the best kickers in the league. I was going to debate if the Carolina is just dumb, Graham Gano, because how good Joey Sly is performing. But then Joey Sly goes out against the Jaguars and does that. But luckily, he has run CMC on his team, so they don't even need extra points and field goals, and you have Christian McCaffrey on your team. So, Kyle Allen, there was even a debate, Kyle Allen's going to be starting over Cam Newton. There's no way. Cam Newton's going to be the starter of this team. But at the end of the night, Carolina is getting wins, and I still think Jacksonville has the duo of the future. DJ Chark and Gardner Minshew is the duo of the future on this offense for this team.
Well, I think Gardner Minshew kind of came down to earth a little bit. He's not this superstar quarterback that everyone thinks he is so far. And I think that's more or less what we're going to see of Gardner Minshew. He's a very average quarterback, I have to say.
Yeah, so moving on to the next game with the Falcons at the Texans. And a couple years ago, Deshaun Watson found his deep threat. He was really emerging as one of the elite wide receivers in the league. And at the end of the day, because of injuries and all that stuff, the guy ended up becoming quiet. But I always knew in my head that the guy was one of the best young receivers in the league. And it is Will Fuller time. Will Fuller absolutely destroyed this Atlanta Falcons team. At the end of the day, I mean, this Falcons team is looking absolutely garbage this year. But they said they're not going to do a coaching change. My problem is Matt Ryan's age. Matt Ryan is aging. It's a clear sign. Their defense was never great. This Atlanta defense needs to get better. It's as simple as that. Honestly, I don't even know if they have to make any. If they're going to make any signings in the offseason. I don't know what they're going to do. But this Atlanta defense has to somehow find a way to get better.
Yeah, I'm losing faith in the Falcons every day. I picked them to be in the playoffs this year, and it's not looking very well.
All right, moving on to the next game, the Broncos of the Chargers. If you ask me, I would be like, the Chargers won this game easily. But Broncos won. It was a little surprise. But I want to just stay on the subject of receivers, I guess, today. I'm in a receiver mood. Cortland Sutton will be a future Pro Bowler. I'm saying it right now. Cortland Sutton was a great prospect when he got drafted, and the kid is actually showing his true potential right now. And at the end of the day, Melvin Gordon, sure, he got some carries. But Austin Eckler, the guy is getting 16 targets a game. They're trying to keep both guys involved. And this is the best running back duo in the league, in my opinion. I don't think Zeke or Tony Pollard have a chance of catching that. Because I honestly don't – Zeke and Tony Pollard, Jordan Howard, Miles Sanders, I don't think they're catching that. I don't think they're catching that that Eckler-Gordon duo at all.
Yeah, it's a very good – this duo is actually reminding me a lot of the Kamara-Ingram duo from a couple years ago.
That's a fair
Maybe
comparison.
Last year a little bit, but – what?
That's a fair comparison.
Yeah, not from last year because I feel like last year was maybe a little too good for these two. But I think that when the Saints came out of nowhere and went 11-5, and lost, unfortunately, to the Minneapolis Miracle. Looking a lot like that. Austin Ekeler is very good. I do have him on my fantasy team, I'll have to say. He's been doing very well.
I do have him on my fantasy team, too. And honestly, Austin Ekeler could become a free agent. And at the end of the day, Austin Ekeler, if he gets signed by a team and he is a main back on that team, Austin Ekeler will be a Pro Bowler. And a team that I think is looking good, as much as they don't want to say it, a team that's looking good for a spot that Austin Ekeler could end up in, the Buffalo Bills. That with that being said, they would have to get rid of Frank Gore. They would have to get rid of T.J. Yeldon, all those guys.
Not trusting in Devin Singletary?
But I honestly believe Austin Ekeler, if he goes to Buffalo, him and Devin Singletary will be the best running back duo in the league by far. In 4 years, Ekeler and Singletary will be the best running back duo in the league by far.
Ah, you're just so full of it right now. All you care about is Devin Singletary, Devin Singletary, Devin Singletary. All
right. Well, I mean, I already admitted. Well, actually, the best running back in the league 4 years from now will be Christian McCaffrey. Number two will be Dalvin Cook. But
what do you mean Saquon Barkley has just disappeared from the earth?
Saquon will be three after Dalvin and CMC.
Three? Oh boy, he's gonna be in his prime.
I'm gonna ask you about the Packers and the Cowboys. Speaking of running backs, Aaron Jones exists. Okay, yeah, four touchdowns for Aaron Jones. At the end of the day, I mean, this Cowboys team, it's going downhill quickly.
Where are those Cowboys fans? They were saying, what were they saying? They were saying they were going to go to the Super Bowl this
same
year.
Same thing
with
the Browns fans. Don't bully us.
Yeah, where are you guys now? It seems like once you start playing good teams, you can't beat them. How's it, like, you play the Dolphins, you play the Giants, you're playing, oof.
All right, moving on to the next game, the Colts of the Chiefs. And first of all, what the hell are the Chiefs doing with all these young receivers? Like, honestly, pick one. You have Tyreek Hill. You have Sammy Watkins. You have Mecole Hardman. You have DeMarcus Robinson. You have Pringle. You have Pringle, who's going off in this last game. You have Travis Kelce as your tight end. Patrick Mahomes has so many options, but what does he do against the Colts? He gets neutralized, as Stephen A. Smith said. And at the end of the day, Jacoby Brissett and these Colts, this is a playoff team.
I told you this team was built very well in the offseason. They have a good team. I said if Jacoby Brissett was just a serviceable, good quarterback, that they can make the playoffs. And he's been impressing me very well, Jacoby Brissett. I think that he can be a damn good quarterback.
All right, moving on to the next game. Actually, no, that was the last game. So moving on to next week, we have the Giants and the Patriots on Thursday Night Football. And the Patriots are winning this. There's no doubt in my mind. Say what you want as a Giants fan. You have to admit the truth. And the truth is that Tom Brady will win at home on Thursday Night Football. There's no doubt about it.
I do think that the Patriots are going to win this, unfortunately. But it's just going to be a momentum swing for the Giants to go 10-6 this year.
All righty. Move on to the next game with the Seahawks and the Browns. I'm honestly very nervous because the Ravens are playing the 0-5 Bengals next week, and we have to play the 4-1 Seahawks and 3-0 Niners right now. Like, I need the Browns to be at top of the division. I really hope that the Ravens would lose to the Steelers that game. It didn't happen. But at the end of the day, Cleveland's home, and guess who's the favorite? The Cleveland Browns. That's for a reason. We put on a show against the Rams, and we're not afraid to do it against the Seahawks. As much as the contenders of the Seahawks are, I do think at home, Baker and the Browns get it done. I know you're going to disagree.
I'm going to have to disagree with you because I'm so confused because you just told me about how great the Seahawks are.
I did. Yeah. I did.
But there's no way that the Browns beat them. I'm sorry.
Alrighty, moving on to the next game, that's the Panthers and the Buccaneers. I don't even want to say the name Buccaneers, because when I say Buccaneers, I think of Mike Evans. When I think of Mike Evans, I think of hatred right now for him. But at the end of the day, Panthers-Buccaneers, Mike Evans will not get a a bounce back game against James Bradberry and the Carolina Panthers. Mike Evans has been terrible against the Panthers. Chris Godwin is proven to be a better receiver than Mike Evans. I have to say it, and at the end of the day, but the Panthers have Christian McCaffrey. Plus, Mike Evans won't have a breakout game, so as good as James Winston looks, run CMC will beat the Buccaneers, as disappointing as he looked in the first game against Tampa.
I'm going to have to go with the Buccaneers here.
All righty. Moving on to the next game with the Texans and the Chiefs. I don't care how many points the Texans put up. I don't care what Patrick Mahomes did last night in the Chiefs. Kansas City will win this game. There's a possibility of Tyreek Hill returning. I think that happens, an easy Kansas City win.
No arguments here.
All righty. Moving on to the next game with the Reds and at the Dolphins. The Tank Bowl.
Oh, boy. We might have the first ever 0-0 tie in the NFL. This is going to be a great game.
The both defenses are pathetic. Give me a break, 0-0 tie. At the end of the day, the team that will win this one is the Washington Redskins under the new coach. I do think Washington will win this one. I mean, even Colt McCoy. I mean, Josh Rosen. Okay, let's admit, Josh Rosen did not look that bad playing for Miami when he came in for Ryan Fitzpatrick. He didn't look that bad, in my opinion. So I do think the Dolphins have a good chance of winning it, and they're home. But I think Washington is going to get the win. But well, hold on, I will say, the best record of the losing team in this game will be 1-15. The best record they can get of the losing team in this game will be 1-15.
Well, I'm going to have to go with the Dolphins here. I just don't
Sam think the Reds... the Dolphins in a game.
I'm just like... I think the Redskins are absolutely an embarrassing team. They're going to have an interim coach. It's like... even though the Dolphins are absolutely god-awful, I still think they can do something.
Uh-huh. Sorry for the audio cut out there. But moving on to the next game, we have the Eagles at the Vikings. Dalvin Cook and the Minnesota offense look impressive, but the Eagles defense looked even more impressive. I'm saying that Philadelphia will beat Minnesota here. Despite what Minnesota defense did, I have to guess that Carson Wentz and the guys will figure out how to get it done.
I'm going to have to agree with you.
All righty, disagreement here. So we were having some audio problems there, but we are back. And Sam was at the end of saying that he disagreed with me, saying the Vikings were going to win. So Sam, go on.
I think the Vikings are going to win. I'm thinking that something lit a fire under Kirk Cousins. I think Thielen calling him out and both Diggs. I think it lit something under him. I think that he's going to go in and he's going to be hot.
All righty. Moving on to the Saints at the Jaguars. Guess what this game is? It's a pick'em. It's a pick'em bet, which means we are most likely going to have different opinions. And I'm saying Minshew Magic and the Jaguars get this one at home over Teddy Bridgewater and the Saints. As impressive as they looked, I'm still not on the Saints hype train until Drew Brees comes back.
I'm going to have to disagree with you on that once again. I just don't understand like why you pick them. It's really just like I have no idea.
All right, well, if Jacksonville wins, you're going to have to take all that back. But at the end of the day, moving on to the Bengals at the Ravens. I think there's no dispute here. I think the Ravens are going to beat the Bengals.
Yeah.
All right, no dispute there. Moving on to the next game at the 49ers and the Rams. At the end of the day, the 49ers will lose to the Browns. The 49ers will lose to the Rams. And they will go from 3-0 to 3-2. The Rams are home. And at the end of that day, I think this offense is too overpowering. Look, Cooper Kupp being one of the best wide receivers in the league right now. Plus, just the overall Aaron Donald's present on that defense. So, I'm picking the Rams to win.
No arguments here.
All righty. Moving on to the next game with the Falcons at the Cardinals. You know what? The Falcons have barely convinced me. I think the young gun, Kyler Murray, gets it done over Atlanta at home here. I'm picking the home teams a lot this week, and I think it's going to be one more here. You can dispute, but at the end of the day, Cardinals will get this one done. And after,
honestly,
and hold on 1 sec. After this Falcons Cardinals game, guess who's coming back from suspension?
Who?
One of the elite cornerbacks in the league a couple years ago,
Patrick Peterson.
And that could help their defense a lot. They obviously still have Chandler Jones on it. Their defense is still terrible, but it helps them.
Well, I'm gonna have to go with the Falcons here. I'm very close to not picking them because they've just been embarrassing. But I'm going to just have faith.
All righty, you're going to have faith. Well, moving on to the next game, we have the Titans at the Broncos. This Titans offense has barely proved anything to me since week one. And guess who's home? Denver. Joe Flacco gets it done here. Broncos win.
Broncos have been utterly embarrassing. Bradley Chubb is injured. I'm going to have to go with the not the Broncos here. I'm going to go with the Titans.
Next up, we got the Cowboys at the Jets. And you know what? I'm feeling a little bit gutsy and a little bit of love for the home teams today. I'm picking the New York Jets to win this one.
You stole my pick right there. Cowboys fans are about to be embarrassed this week. They're going to be 3-3.
All right. So here's why. Chris Herndon is back from suspension, and he can be an elite tight end in this league. Sam Darnold is back from a mono. And at the end of the day, sitting back again, Sam Darnold had a great QB rating after.
How about our boy Trayvon Wesco?
All right, yeah, Trayvon Wesco. Me and Sam have a picture with him. But at the end of the day, Sam Darnold, when he was watching Josh McCown, when he came back, he was incredible. He had the highest QB rating for all the quarterbacks in that draft. And at the end of the day, I think Quinnen Williams will finally get, like, his main role he needed. Leonard Williams and the guys will do their thing. Obviously, they stick at corner, but they have Jamal Adams back there at safety and Marcus May. So at the end of the day, the Jets are a little dinged up, and their O-line's a huge question to me. But this is Le'Veon Bell's real breakout game. The Jets beat the Cowboys at home.
Yep.
Alrighty, moving on to the next game with the Steelers at the Chargers. Devlin Hodges. We have to get word on Mason Rudolph. But even when we get word on Mason Rudolph, the Chargers are home. I'm just picking Los Angeles to win this one.
Yeah, I'm going to have to pick Los Angeles, the boring pick here, but I think they're good enough to win.
And the Lions at the Packers on Monday night. I guess I'm just obsessed with the home teams. Green Bay is winning this one to Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree. Aaron Rodgers is going to be the MVP this year. Sticking with my prediction.
I cannot disagree with you anymore because even what Patrick Mahomes did last night, he still exists. Lamar Jackson, Dak Prescott, huge candidates for MVP.
Dak Prescott?
Yes, sir. You heard me. Dak Prescott. And then moving on, we are talking about the NBA. Just quick expectations for the Eastern Conference teams. On Friday's episode, we'll be doing the Western Conference teams. So we're just going to be talking about the teams and their expectations for them. So the Milwaukee Bucks. My expectation is a top three seed at least. I mean, they were one seed last year to make to the Eastern Conference Finals, and they have the reigning MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo. I mean, there's no other explanation there. I mean, the Bucks, if they don't get to the Conference Finals to me even, that's a disappointing team in my eyes.
Well, I think actually that the Bucks are going to be – they're going to struggle a little bit because without Malcolm Brogdon on that team, it's going to be a real struggle for them because they don't have that pure shooter. I mean, you could say Chris Middleton is that, but, like, who else can do what Brogdon did on that team?
I mean, Brooke Lopez is a stretch, but he's a stretch at the end of the day. And moving on to the next game, we got the Toronto – the next team, you have the Toronto Raptors. And losing Kawhi, everybody's like, oh, you're underrating them. This team's going to still be a playoff team. True. And to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised what the Raptors do this year. I wouldn't be surprised if they missed the playoffs entirely. I wouldn't be surprised if they got the 16th. I wouldn't be surprised if Pascal Siakam and Kyle Lowry, who just signed a new extension, go go on a huge run and be a top three seed in the East. I honestly wouldn't be surprised. So I wouldn't be surprised what the Raptors do this season. That's my basic expectation for them.
Well, I think this is the year Pascal Siakam breaks out, and I feel like he becomes a superstar player. I think we all know it's going to happen. Just the question is when. But I feel like this is the year. I think the Raptors get in as a top five seed.
All righty. Move on to the next game with the Philadelphia 76ers. My expectations is a one seed. I don't care what they lost J.J. Redick or not. They might not have a lot of shooting. But at the end of the day, Al Horford, Embiid, Harris, and Richardson, they're all okay shooters. They all could do a little bit of it. At the end of the day, I do think the Sixers are going to be a one seed, nothing less. I think they should make the NBA Finals.
Yeah, I think that the Sixers are going to be the Eastern Conference representatives. I actually do not think that they are going to be the one seed this year.
Milwaukee?
Yeah.
All right, move on to the next team at the Boston Celtics. Boston will be worse than what they did last year. I don't care what you say about Kyrie as a teammate. Kemba Walker is still a downgrade. And at the end of the day, Enes Kanter as your starting center, you're not going to be a top four team in the East. I don't care what anybody says. At the end of the day, Gordon Hayward has barely proved anything to me. I'm saying Boston 5 or 6 seed.
I think Boston has a very similar record to what they had last year, maybe a little under. I just don't have faith in this team. They're a very average team. They're not going to win the finals.
All right, move on to the next game. We got the next team. We have the Indiana Pacers. I'm expecting a top four seed. With the addition of Malcolm Brogdon and Jeremy Lamb on that team, I honestly think they got way better. Miles Turner, this will be his breakout year. You know how much of a fan I am of Miles Turner. Victor Oladipo. I think the Sixers could have a decent record for the time that Victor Oladipo is absent to start the season. I honestly do. I think the Sixers could get it done, even with the loss of Bogdanovich. I think the Pacers, my bad, can get it done. They could be a top four seed.
Yeah, watch out for the Pacers. I wouldn't be surprised if they are the 2 or 3 seed this year because Oladipo is coming back. Although he might be a bit slow coming back, that's the only thing that deters me. I think they might start off a little sluggish because of Oladipo coming back. I don't know if he's going to be at 100% or not, but just watch out for the Pacers.
All righty, moving on to the next team, we have the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, look, Kyrie Irving is it's better than D'Angelo Russell. There's no doubt about it. But at the end of the day, the addition of DeAndre Jordan helps. It's just that this team is going to be seeing a very average year, like a 5-6 seed with no KD. I mean, the Nets, they're an okay team. They're a playoff team, but I don't know.
I think the Nets actually have a 50-win season this year. They're going to be better than they were last year. DeAndre Jordan just gives them more depth now. And it's just going to be I think Kyrie's going to go off this year. Obviously, KD is the main thing. I think that next year when KD comes back, they will be title contenders. No doubt about that. But I think it's going to be a step year to see how they can play with each other.
Alrighty, moving on to the next team. We have the Orlando Magic. And Orlando, my expectations are not high. I don't think they're making the playoffs again. Come at me. I don't think they're making the playoffs again. I think even with the re-signing of Vucevic, it was a terrible re-signing. I think they should honestly get rid of Vucevic and trade him, get something back, get young players, and I'm just not expecting much from this Orlando team.
I'm expecting a similar year. I think they might get the 7th or 8th seed again. I mean, average team. They have some good players. I think Fultz, this is going to be his make-or-break year.
Yeah, moving on to the next team, you have the Detroit Pistons. I'm expecting nothing more than an 8-7 seed, just an average team.
Yeah, same here. I doubt they make the playoffs this year, and even if they do, there's no way they win a game. They're going to get swept.
Alrighty. Moving on to the next team, we have the Charlotte Hornets. My expectation, last in the Eastern Conference. We'll move on, because you're expecting the same thing.
Yep.
Moving on to the next team, we have the Miami Heat. Miami Heat, I'm expecting a top five seed out of them. I'm a huge believer of the Miami team. People forget that Goran Dragic was a pro all-star 2 years ago. And at the end of the day, Jimmy Butler, he's obviously one of the best defensive players in the league. He's elite. At the end of the day, I think Bam Adebayo could have a breakout year or a near breakout year. And this Heat team is deep. It's solid.
I'm not very high on that. I get where you're coming from, but I really just don't think that that's actually going to happen.
Alrighty, moving on to the next team of the Washington Wizards. I'm expecting like a top four, top five worst team in the Eastern Conference.
I thought you were about to say top four, top five seed there.
Top five, top four worst team. At the end of the day, I think Bradley Beal can – I'm a huge believer in him. I think he can eventually carry the team to possibly an eight seed if all goes lucky. But in staying in a realistic world, I think the Wizards will only be – a mediocre team.
I agree. I don't think that they're going to be very good this year. Honestly, who knows with the Wizards? I think Bradley Beal ends up getting traded, to be honest.
Well, if that happens, they're on a Hornets level. Move on to the next team. We have the Atlanta Hawks. Great young core. They could be a 7-8 seed best. They could be like a 9-10 seed worst. But they have a great young core. Atlanta Hawks, 5-6 years, they're going to be the best team in the NBA, or one of them.
Yeah, I agree they have a good young core. I just don't think they're ready yet to compete. DeAndre Hunter, I think he's very similar to Draymond Green. And again, they're trying to build the Warriors thing. And it might work, who knows. But they do have a good young core. I just don't think they're ready yet.
So honestly, let's debate. Because if you asked me a couple months ago, who would be the biggest bust in the draft? I would say DeAndre Hunter. To be completely honest with you, maybe Darius Garland's up on that level. Maybe Cam Reddish is up on that level. But I think DeAndre Hunter also has huge bust potential. Even though he has good defense, I was never a huge, huge fan of him watching him at Virginia. I did not see what all the NBA scouts saw, to be honest with you. But at the end of the day, DeAndre Hunter also saw upside in a couple plays that I saw. So I also saw a lot of upside. So we'll move on to the next team in the Chicago Bulls. And the Bulls, they have a good young core. But when are they going to start producing? Like, never. Zach LaVine, yeah, sure, he puts up numbers. But this Bulls team will never be a playoff team anytime soon. Like, this Bulls team needs to start producing. Like, they have like too many young players and they're not doing anything with them.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the Bulls are probably going to be at the bottom. Maybe they'll get the 7th overall pick again in the draft.
Yeah. Moving on to the next team, we have the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cleveland, they're terrible. We all know it. At the end of the day, Sexton and Garland, sure, they have a lot of potential as a backcourt. But at the end of the day, I'm just not a believer in this Cleveland team. Kevin Love might get traded, so like, there's a lot of question marks.
Yeah, I don't think Kevin Love gets traded. I don't know if there's a single team that wants to take that contract of Kevin Love. They're probably going to be at the bottom again. I'm excited to see what Darius Garland can do, but we'll have to see.
Moving on to the last team, we have the New York Knicks. I expect them to be the second worst before Charlotte. That's your team. What are you going to have to say?
It's weird with the Knicks because their season can either go two ways, extremely horribly or extremely well. Where they can't, if everything goes right, they could be an eighth seed
because of the amount of. That's not happening.
That's what everything goes right there. But I'm leaning more towards they're going to have a horrible year because they're not going to be in the middle. They're either going to be horrible or they're going to be good.
I mean, eighth seed is sort of the middle.
Well, they could. I mean, they could make the playoffs because Julius Randle is a good player. If RJ Barrett comes out and he's a good player, something can happen there. I don't know because I like Mitchell Robinson. I think he's the center of the future. I like Dennis Smith Jr. I like RJ Barrett. I like Kevin Knox. I like Julius Randle. I don't like that we signed 10 bajillion power forwards. I don't understand that.
Speaking of Mitchell Robinson, Yahoo, what are you doing with your fantasy basketball rankings? You're ranking Mitchell Robinson the 26th overall player.
That's disrespectful.
Over guys like Devin Booker and all those guys. 26th overall It's way too high for a guy who barely proved himself. Also, they're ranking like Trae Young and De'Aaron Fox really high. I know they could have breakout years, but at the end of the day, like, proven guys like Devin Booker are ranked lower. Proven guys like CJ McCollum are ranked lower. So, I mean,
well, I don't think that Mitch Robinson is even a good fantasy center, because if you think about it, his game is based on defense. He's a great defensive
player. He helps with blocks.
He's a great defensive player. He's a good roller to the rim. He can maybe shoot once or twice a game. But, yeah, that's just disrespectful. But even though he is a good player. But I think the Knicks are going to either be horrible, like you said, they're either going to be one of the worst teams, or they could be a playoff team.
All righty. Thank you for watching the SSTN podcast. We will catch you Friday for our next episode. Catch you guys next time.